Days ago, we spoke about the importance of learning Torah on Shabbos, and that was really based on a medrash in the beginning of Parshas Vayakhel, where the medrash tells us, Vayakhel Moshe, this is the only place where Moshe Rabbeinu has an obligation to gather everyone in, because the medrash says this was the opportunity for Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Torah to the Jewish people. And when you teach Torah to the Jewish people, and when you teach the halachos, it's important that everybody be there together, that we all understand the Hilchos Shabbos, and that's what the medrash teaches us from here. We have a practice that we do the very same every Shabbos, and we have a public shiur with everybody participating. That is a very important Gemara, and in fact, the Gemara tells us as well that those who choose to skip it, not for any good reason, those who choose to neglect the shiur are going to be held accountable in very serious ways. That's what we mentioned last time. I think one point that's worthy of mentioning is something that I think often gets overlooked, and that is that Balatanya writes in the Sefer HaTanya that not only does this mitzvah apply for the men of the community, but it applies for the women as well. Even though you'll say women don't have a primary obligation of Talmud Torah, only men are obligated in Talmud Torah, but still the Sefer HaTanya writes, since the whole reason for the public shiur on Shabbos is to teach everybody the halachos, that we should acquaint ourselves with how to keep Shabbos and how to observe it properly, therefore he says, mitzvah lihikal bebate knesios, lidrash me'inyan hayom lenashim. We have an equal obligation not only to teach the men on Shabbos, but also to teach the women as well. So this is something that we find many different sources for, that the public shiur on Shabbos is of extreme importance. In fact, the Yerushalmi has a very amusing story about Rav Meir. The Yerushalmi tells us that Rav Meir, one of the G'dolei HaTanoim, used to make it his business every Shabbos to give a public shiur for the women. And the Yerushalmi says the story that one week Rav Meir, it happened to be they gave the shiur on Friday night. That's the way it turned out, maybe on the early Shabbos, so they used to do it Friday night. So the Yerushalmi tells the story that Rav Meir gave a shiur, and it went a little bit overtime, or a lot of it overtime, and there was one woman who was at the shiur whose husband was so upset. He was infuriated why his wife was still at the shiur, why she's learning so much, how come she didn't come home yet. He wanted to spend time with her, and by the time she returned home, the candles had already gone out at home, so the house was dark, and the husband was already upset, and he locked the door, and he told her she's not going to be allowed in until, he said, he takes a nether upon himself that he's not going to allow her to come back into the house until she goes and spits in the face of Rav Meir, because look, who is this Rav Meir who thinks he can get in the room of our Shalom Bayis? So he was very upset. He was agitated by the fact that his wife went to the public shiur. So it happens to be, you see that Rav Meir gave a public shiur, and you see that going overtime back then was a problem the same way it is now. You don't go overtime. That's the bottom line. So what happened? The end of the story, having nothing to do with Shabbos, is a beautiful story. The end is, this woman started to cry, and she's trying to figure out, how can I go and spit in the face of Rav Meir? And after all, if I don't spit in the face of Rav Meir, my husband took a nether. He took an absolute promise that he's going to lock me out of the house and never let me back in unless I go ahead and do such a despicable act. So the Yerushalmi tells us that Rav Meir got word of this, and he found out what happened. And Rav Meir decided he had to get involved. So what did he do? Rav Meir told everybody that he had a terrible illness in his eye, and his eye was all blown up, and he put a patch over the eye that nobody should really see that there was nothing wrong at all. And he said, the doctors told him the only way he can have the eye cured is if someone puts saliva with mucus in it into his eye, otherwise it won't be able to be cured. That's what he went around and he told the whole city. So all the women found out that Rav Meir is very sick, so they told this woman, here's your chance. Your husband will let you back in. Here's your chance to go spit in the face of Rav Meir. Not only are you going to take care of your husband, but you're also going to do a mitzvah to take care of Rav Meir. So she goes on her way, and she shows up to Rav Meir, and she says to him, I heard that you need someone to spit in the face. He says, are you a doctor? Do you know how to do this properly? So she says, not really. I have no medical expertise at all. He says, no, the doctors tell me I need someone to do it very professionally. You know what? Spit in my eye 7 times. This way you make sure you do it right. If you only do it once, you might not do it right. If you do it 7 times, then we'll be rest assured there'll be nothing wrong. So there she is. She stands over Rav Meir. She spits in his face 7 times. And Rav Meir tells her, now you should go back to your husband and tell him the following. Tell him that you told me only to spit in Rav Meir's face once. I was so machmir, I spit 7 times. That's how much I love you. That's what Rav Meir told this woman to go tell her husband. So the Talmidim went to Rav Meir and they said to him, what are you doing? How come you didn't go to the husband and beat him over the head and say to him, what kind of craziness is this? What are you telling him to go spit in the face of Rav Meir? Why did you do such a thing? Hey, Shiv Rav Meir. Rav Meir responded to them and he says, Uma'im hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'imachik shmo. If the Ribbono Shel Olam allows for his name to be erased, as we know, when you have a husband and wife and someone's accusing the other of some promiscuous activity, so we know that you erase the Shem Hashem. Alachas kama v'kama shemeir yimachel al kivodo. If the Ribbono Shel Olam allows for us to disgrace his name, to defile it, certainly Rav Meir, myself, who's nothing close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, has every obligation not to go and hit the husband over the head, but to humiliate myself in order for the sake of Shalom Bayis. So it happens to be an amusing story, but what I took out of the story was that you see that it used to be the practice that women had a public shiur on Shabbos, exactly what the Sefer HaTanya writes, that we have an obligation to teach the halachas of Shabbos not only to the men, but also to the women. They also have to keep Shabbos properly, and that's why this is a very important halacha. The Gemara, in describing the proper way to observe Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Gemara seems to have some kind of disagreement. The Gemara says in Psachim Adaf Samaches, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ein lo la'adam b'yom tiv ela o ochel v'shose o yoshev v'shoni. You have to choose one of the two options on Yom Tov. Either you're going to spend your whole day davening and learning and spending time connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam, or you're going to spend the whole day ochel v'shose, just enjoying, feasting, oneg Yom Tov, simchas Yom Tov. There's no middle ground. You have to do either or. And Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion, no, chalkeu, you should split it. Do some of the time designated toward the Ribbono Shel Olam, and some of the time to enjoy yourself, to enjoy your family, to have a good time. So that's what the Gemara says. However, the Gemara then ends off and says, although we have a disagreement by Yom Tov, what's the proper way to do it? The Gemara tells us, Hakol Modim, everyone agrees that when it comes to Shabbos, Dibainan Nami Lachem. Everyone agrees by Shabbos that you have to take some time out of Shabbos to enjoy yourself, to have Oneg Shabbos. Even if Yom Tov, you're going to go and only spend the time with the Ribbono Shel Olam, when it comes to Shabbos, everybody has to make time for themselves as well, because we have a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. So this is a very important halacha. The later Acharonim disagree, which category does tefillah fit into? Is tefillah considered a category of chetzio lachem? Is tefillah for me? Or is tefillah chetzio lachem? Am I designating my time for God? Or am I designating my time for me? If I know what's good for me, I'll daven. So that's a interesting Acharonish machlokis, whether we assume that tefillah fits into the first category of chetzio lachem, or do we assume it's the second category, chetzio lachem. But be it as it may, the Beis Yosef, when he tries to define the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, mentions the disagreement and the discussion that the Yerushalmi discusses. So he says as follows, Rab Chagai Omer. He quotes a Yerushalmi that has in the name of one of the Tanaim, Rab Chagai, Lo nitnu Shabbosos v'yamim tovim ela la'achila v'lishtia. Shabbos and Yom Tov was given for eating, for drinking, for sleeping, for enjoying ourselves. That's what Shabbos is for. Reb Brachia Omer, the other opinion is, no, lo nitnu Shabbosos ela lasak behem medivrei Torah. Shabbos was given as an opportunity for us not to worry about our businesses, to have a clear mind and to study Torah all day. That's what Shabbos is for. So the Beis Yosef quotes this Yerushalmi. So then the Beis Yosef goes on and he says, well, don't think this is just a disagreement. He then quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, where the Medrash Tanchuma says, both are correct. It just depends who you are. If you're a Talmud Chacham, one of them applies to you. If you're not a Talmud Chacham, if you're just a person who works all week long and doesn't study Torah all week long, then the other applies to you. So now the question is, which one applies to which? So the Meiri, surprisingly, has two ways of interpreting this comment of the Medrash. What exactly do we mean? Says the Meiri, Upirshu bar Rabosai, my Rabbeim explain, Shehatalmid ma'ango b'talmud Torah, the way to have Oneg Shabbos, if you're the kind of person that learns all week, since learning is the most enjoyable thing for you, so Shabbos you should spend a lot of time learning. If you're a balabas who likes to work hard all week long, and now finally you come to Shabbos and have a chance to get away from your work, so now Shabbos is your enjoyment to just sleep, to have a good time and enjoy your family and sleep. That's what the Meiri writes, that's the way his Rabbeim explained it. V'ani Omer, says the Meiri, I say hepach advarim, I explained it in the opposite direction. HaTalmid, the Talmud Chacham that sits and learns all week, and his head is clear to learn properly, so he doesn't have to spend Shabbos learning, he's learning all week. The balabas who spends all week long working, he's the one who has to go ahead and not allow himself to sleep on Shabbos. He has to spend every moment of Shabbos learning. So this is an interesting disagreement about how exactly do we interpret the words of the Medrash. Yes, it's true that we draw a distinction how one is supposed to be Mekayim Oneg Shabbos, whether they happen to be a Talmud Chacham or not. But the question is, how do you draw that distinction? So that's an interesting discussion. And the Rama seems to draw some kind of compromise. The Rama writes as follows in Hilchos Shabbos, Balabatim Shenem Oskim B'Torah Kol Yemei HaShavua. If you have a person who is not able to learn during the week because they're busy working and they're busy doing whatever has to be done, Yasku Yosef B'Torah B'Shabbos Mitamidei Chachamim Ha'oskim B'Torah Kol Yemei HaShavua. They have an obligation to learn Torah on Shabbos more so than everyone else because they don't have the chance to learn during the week. What's going to be? Person's going to go up to Shamayim. They're not going to be a Talmud Chacham. God's going to ask you, how come you're not a Talmud Chacham? You're going to say, I didn't have time to learn. What do you mean? You had Shabbos. You had Shabbos. So that's what the Rama says. V'Talmidei Chachamim, he says, hey, don't think the Talmud Chacham gets off easy. He should also be yamshich yoser ba'oneg achilu shtiak tzas. Again, he should obviously enjoy himself. However, he says they should also try to learn on Shabbos. Don't think they get off scot-free on Shabbos. Everybody should be learning. That's the bottom line of what the Rama paskins here, based on this unclear statement of the Medrash. Who exactly has the obligation to learn? It seems everybody has the obligation to learn on Shabbos. The question is, how much do you have to learn? A balabas who spends most of the time working during the week should spend more time learning on Shabbos than other people who have the opportunity to learn during the week. So what kind of learning should one be doing on Shabbos? So you'll say, what kind of question is that? Torah is Torah. Learning Torah is learning Torah. What's the difference what you learn? So that's not so clear. And the reason why it's not so clear is because we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chavav, where the Gemara tells us that the Torah is referred to as Toshia. And the Gemara asks, what does it mean, Toshia? What does it mean the Torah is called a Toshia? Shatara mateshas kocha shaladam. Torah, in some way, a person works so hard on trying to understand the Torah and trying to come to a complete understanding of the Torah and to be mechadish Torah, so therefore it's mateshas kocha shaladam. It weakens a person. After you use your mind so much and you work so hard to try to figure something out and put it together, so then you're going to be much weaker. So that's what the Gemara tells us. And Chadosh writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah that this is perhaps the reason why we say Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek. Or some say this is why we say Yasher Koach after an Aliyah. Because we ask that the person, even though they learn Torah, and usually the study of Torah makes a person weaker, we say, no, Yasher Kochacham, you should have more strength. Chazak, Chazak, when we finish a Sefer of the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, we assume that a person should be given the bracha that they should have more strength, because generally that's not what happens when a person learns Torah. So based on this phenomenon that we assume somebody who toils in Torah, somebody who learns Torah, is considered to be weaker, is going to be not as strong as a result, the Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamed Zayin, as well as the Shulchan Aruch and Yaradeya, write the following, that when you have young children, we should not take the young children and have groups on Shabbos and teach them something new. Because the young children work hard to try to understand. When you teach them something new to them, a new concept, and then they try to figure it out, it's not going to be an Onik Shabbos for them. So therefore, it says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't take the children and have youth groups on Shabbos and try to knock them in their heads with new things. That's not a good idea. It's a good idea if you want to teach them something, teach them some Medrash, teach them some nice Divrei Torah in the Parsha. Don't try to tell them new concepts in Halacha which they cannot understand easily, because that's not going to contribute to the Onik Shabbos. That's what the Gemara tells us, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Based on that line in the Gemara and the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin writes one giant step further. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, the same way young children don't have Onik Shabbos by studying some new aspect of Torah, they don't like that, so therefore we don't do it. Therefore, he says, when it comes to a Talmud Chacham who's going to sit there and learn Bi'iyun on Shabbos, Bi'iyun Rav, and start going through the Shakla V'Tari of a long Tosfos, and it's very hard to keep track of what's going on in there, says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, a person who does that is a Mechal Shabbos, he writes. A person who does that on Shabbos is considered to be a Mechalel Es HaShabbos, because you're not being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. And then he proves it. How does he prove it? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos as follows. Rab Zeira, when he used to see two Talmidei Chachamim talking to each other and learning, he would say to them, Lo Techalenune, don't be Mechalel Shabbos. Rashi explains, don't be so involved in learning Torah, you're going to be Mechalel Shabbos, you're not going to enjoy it. Therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, if a Talmud Chacham chooses to learn a sugya be'ian on Shabbos, and he's going to work hard on a long tosis or whatever it might be, that's considered to be an aspect of chilul Shabbos. A tremendous chiddush. That's what he wants to suggest. Now this became a major controversy. Really true? You're going to tell me that I'm limited to what I'm allowed to learn and what I'm not? So the Chida in the Pirkei Yosef, the Chida was one of the great Sfardus HaGedolim. So the Chida writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch and the Pirkei Yosef, absolutely not. What are you talking about? How can you tell someone they're limited to what they're allowed to learn on Shabbos, because otherwise it's going to be Mechal Shabbos, it takes away from my Onik Shabbos? It's not true. If somebody appreciates learning enough, they will enjoy the learning hard on Shabbos to understand the long Tosfos. That will enhance the Onik Shabbos. And the Chida writes, in fact, he believes that Rabbi Yaakov Emdin is not correct, because he says, we know that our practice in Kushta, I don't know what that is exactly, but somewhere in their communities, the Chida writes, we certainly had the practice that all the great Rabbanim and Talmidei Chachamim on Shabbos would sit there with the Gemaras and try to understand everything, and they would work through all the hard sugyas in Halacha. And then he writes that he sent a letter to Yerushalayim and he found that they're doing the same thing over there. I don't know what you're talking about. That's what he says. And he totally rejects this assumption. He says a person is allowed to learn whatever they want on Shabbos, no reason to hold back anything. So there's an interesting follow-up to that. Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad wrote a tshuva sefer called The Shalos HaTshuvas Torah Lishma. So the Achronim quote this tshuva from the Torah Lishma, where they sent him the following question. They wrote to him that there was a a young whippersnapper in our community who thought he knew everything. And he walks into shul on Shabbos and he sees there's somebody toiling over a hard gemara, a hard tosis, a hard sugya, whatever it might be. And he walked over to him and he starts to yell at him and he says, "You're being mechal Shabbos, you're not allowed to learn that on Shabbos. You're only allowed to learn the easy things. You don't have a right to study these hard gemaras, these hard sugyas in halacha." And he starts to yell at him. Now the people in the community said, "What are you talking about? We've never heard of such a thing. Why should he limit himself to what he learns on Shabbos? If that's what he enjoys, let him enjoy learning." And the person was being insistent, absolutely not. So the community sent a letter to Rabbi Yosef Chaim in Baghdad, and they asked him, "What's your opinion? We know our gut reaction is that it's absolutely permissible to study whatever you want on Shabbos. Shabbos is a time, like we said, to learn Torah. Whatever part of Torah you enjoy, go ahead and learn it. There's no problem at all." But they asked him, "Can you prove to us from a Gemara? Can we give a source? We have this young guy in the community who thinks he knows everything. How can we prove him with a source that he's wrong?" So the Rabbi Yosef Chaim wrote back to them. He proved it from a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Vachim. It's like a needle in a haystack. He found it out of nowhere, where you find that there were two Tanaim who were dealing with a sugya that was a complicated sugya on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. And he says, "You see from there that we have every right to study any area of Torah. It doesn't matter if it's easy, if it's hard, if it's sweet, if it's sour. Whatever you want, you can study anything on Shabbos because Torah is Torah, and that's what Shabbos was made for." So that's basically the assumption of most of the Gedolei Achronim, that Shabbos is a time that everybody should be designating a certain amount of their time over the Shabbos to Limud HaTorah, like the Medrash says, "Lo nitnu Shabbosos ela lilmud behemas HaTorah." That's what Shabbos was made for. It was given to us as the opportunity to study Divrei Torah, and whether or not you're the person who works all week long or you're the person who learns all week long, either way, the Ramah comes with the comprehensive opinion that everybody has an obligation to learn on Shabbos. It says the person who works all week long has a greater obligation to learn on Shabbos because unfortunately they don't have enough time to learn during the week. But the person who learns all week long also doesn't get off so easy. We assume that everybody has an equal opportunity and an equal obligation to learn over Shabbos because that's really what Shabbos is all about.